Today is Daf Samache, so we'll learn the Pini Halacha Daf Samache. Here's the first shayl. Here you go, right here. Here you go, Samache, Chaf Aleph. Here you go, here's a page. That's page Chaf, Chaf Aleph. Here. Who is Chaf here? Chaf Aleph. Chaf Aleph. And Chaf Beis. Okay, it is on page Chaf. Everyone should have page Chaf. On page Chaf, on the very bottom, where it says Daf Samachei Omer Aleph. One dot. Samachei Omer Aleph. Here is the Shaila. The Shaila is Gilui Soy Dutsiv. A person makes a neder. That's the topic of the Daf, making a neder. You make a neder, you're not going to reveal a secret. I swear, I'll make a Shavua. Shavua and neder are very similar. The Gavra and the Chefsa, but the basic idea is similar. Your person makes a Shavua that he's not going to swear a secret, so now he wants to reveal a secret to his friend. Now, by the way, just to deal with the Chusa, what's the difference between a secret and not a secret? The only difference is, something that's not a secret, you announce publicly. You get in front of the Bima, Rabbi Isai, I want to tell everyone the following piece of information. A secret is when you go from person to person. I gotta tell you, don't tell anyone. I gotta tell you this piece of information. And you go to the next one, I gotta tell you this. That's the only difference between a secret and not a secret.
Must you say that you shouldn't tell anyone?
Well, of course, yeah. In order for it to be a secret, let's see what it says. He talks about it.
Tell someone something and they repeat it.
Oh, that's not right. That's worse than Lashon Hara. If you tell someone something that he's not allowed to reveal.
No, you don't tell him that he's not allowed to reveal. You just mention something to him. And he repeats
it. Well, I think from the context, it should be understood. It depends what the information is. If it's self-understood, it's private information, then you don't want people to know. You tell someone, whatever, every situation is different. Let's see. Gilui Soid B'chsiva. Here is very interesting. Haranach. I don't even know who the Ranach is. Anyone know who the Ranach is? It seems like he is an Acharein. Yerodeya?
The Ramchal? No, he's related. He's missing the lamb.
Okay, I don't know. This seems to be Vizan Yerodeya Pischich. Obviously, he seems to be from the late Achroinim. Okay, maybe he's someone even recent. Haranach. Kosav. I don't know who this is. Haranach Kosav. Sha'odam Shanishba. Here's the Shaila. Very strange thing. Sha'odam Shanishba Shalay Legaloy Soydoy Lashimai. The person, now, this is the person who makes a shua. I will not reveal this secret to so and so. Now, we're not dealing with someone else's secret. We're dealing with your secret. Okay, if you want, you can tell the whole world whatever you want to tell. The person wants to reveal that, he was once married before, right? He was once engaged before. Some type of thing that doesn't want people to know about. He was previously married. And in this community, Muslim, no one knows that he was previously married, that he was divorced. So sometimes you have a temptation. You attempted to tell someone this information.
Okay, the Maya Mamukim.
The Maya Mamukim? Who is the Mechaber?
Rishmuel Moshe Kramer.
Where did he live?
Deep commentary on Likutei Maharan, written by one of the greatest luminaries of Israel, who also authored Mayim.
Nachman Breslov? Maran?
I think it's from Breslov.
Breslov.
And is well known for his profound shiur in the Sefer.
Where is Ranach? Was that? Was Rosh David?
Ranach, I don't know.
Okay, a Breslova chassid.
Google does not.
Rav Meir, are you following? We have a Breslova. You have no problem with Breslova, right? Breslova you have no problem with, right? They're good. They're good to go. Kosav. Sha'odam Shanishba Shaloy Legaloy Soydoy Lashim. He made a shvua. I'm never going to. Sometimes I feel tempted to reveal this information. I was once married. So you know what? I'm going to make a shvua. Mechazik myself. I make a shvua. I swear that I will never reveal this secret because I'm mechazik myself that no one should ever know this. Have a temptation when you get into a conversation with someone. You like to tell secrets. That's the nature of human being. So you make a mechazik and make a shvua. And now the day comes. And you want to reveal the secret. There's a reason why you want to reveal the secret. So what do you do? So Yochol, so it says over here, a tremendous chiddush. Yochol lahagidai leruvein. So what you can do is, you don't tell, you tell it, I'm sorry, I take a step back. The shur was very specific. I don't want to reveal Shimon.
I don't want
he should know this. I want my future father, my father-in-law's name is Shimon. I don't want Shimon to know that I was married before. And but the whole world, I don't care. I'll tell it to people who I want. Now the day comes, I want him to know, for whatever reason. So, but I made a shua. So what you can do is, you can tell the secret to Reuven, and a third party, and tell Reuven, you go tell it to my father, and go tell it to Shimon. That's what it says. A chiddush. What? Well, the shayla is, when you made a shua that you don't want Shimon to know, you don't want him to know even indirectly. You're not allowed to do anything which will be instrumental in having Shimon find out. Isn't that part of the shvuah? That's the question. That is the dilemma of a shiloh. So he's coming to be very lenient.
Is the language that you don't want to tell it, or you don't want him to know?
Oh, exactly. That's the dilemma. When you... Okay.
And there are four cases that the Mishnah delineates that a neder is more chomer than a shvuah.
Okay.
And this would be, it's sort of in that category somehow, because the neder references that you don't want him to
the object, the chefza, not on you.
You don't want to be the one.
You'd be the one to tell him.
Right.
Okay, in chalam. So here's a shvuah, so it's more lenient. Sh'adam sh'nishpach, sh'adam sh'nishpach, sh'loi la'galoi s'aydai l'shim. Okay, let's... You make a revelation. Yachol l'hagidai l'ruven, you can tell someone else. And you can instruct that person, and you be the one that tells Shimon.
Doesn't say.
You should. Okay, alright, fine. Maybe indirectly, but you know what's going to happen. Reuven yigala l'shimon. Shaharei Reuven in mechuv l'kai mashua. That's not the one who the shua was meant to. It was only meant to you. Shaharei hulo nishpa. Vaha nishpa. The one that made the shua lo over al shua. So he never actually said anything to Shimon.
Tell Shimon that he did.
What? Possibly, okay, nechnami. For you, so you do it indirectly. Now, the afalpi, you'll say shakavonas hashuah, as Mr. Murilis mentioned, the kavonas hashuah. Ha'isa shalo yiskalel. Come on, let's be realistic here. When you made the shua, what was the purpose? The purpose was that it should not be revealed. So the l'shimon lo'ich b'slam is that it's not an issue because you follow the rules. The rules are that you should not be the one. V'doyme, here's what it comes to the Gemara. L'madir es chaver hana. You make a neder. This is mamash to the Gemara. You make a neder that so and so should not have hana from me. I do not want my children to derive. I swear I'm never going to support them in Kailo. No way. If they go to Kailo, that's it. They're not getting one penny from me. And then all of a sudden, the father loosens up. They need a few dollars. So what does he do? Shechavarosa shechaveru lo yehane shedoyme lemade chaveru hano. Your friend may not have hano. Shechavarosa shechaveru lo yehane minchasav v'chol zos. But the halach is mutlo loymar. You're allowed to say if someone will support my child, I'll compensate you.
But you
don't
say that. Say
ain't no
opposite. You can't say I compensate you.
Ain't no, you just say he's he will now lose out indirectly.
And how can you swear? Because you don't have control of them receiving something. You don't control you giving them.
Well, that's what you're saying. You can't have any.
I cannot. The child cannot have an enough from me. The child may not. So and so may not derive pleasure from me. So what you can say is, anyone that will go and will give them pleasure will not lose out. You are indirectly hinting that I will compensate you for giving them pleasure. So technically, no violation has occurred because you did not give money hand to hand from you to them, and you never explicitly said there's going to be compensation. You miramis. So it's a legal loophole. It's a legal loophole that works. That's the Gemara says.
Let's say you can swear that someone should know you were previously married, right? You can swear that you're not going to tell them, but he may find out somewhere.
Enochanami. So that's not that. Enochanami, that's right. No, you're right. Enochanami. That's exactly. What did you specifically say? I will not be the one to tell. If he'll find out, he'll find out. I can't control that.
Right.
But I swear that I will not be the one to. I know that I have a tendency to talk a lot. I like to gossip. I like to talk a lot. I spill beans sometimes. So I make a shua to mechazik myself. But if he finds out, that's not my problem. He finds out.
What,
so here.
What the Mishnah is doing, unfortunately, the Mishnah is what they say there, is because the Mishnah gives the case of somebody eating in somebody's house and the person says, I'm not. This guy can't eat from me. I madim hano that he shouldn't have any hano from me. I can't feed him. And then later he realizes that his whole thought process was wrong. That had he known certain things, he wouldn't have said that about the person. But what should he do? He could say, I'm giving somebody else at the Suda, there's other guests in the Suda, and I'm donating all the food to them, and then they could feed the third part that they will give. But the wiggle room is, they tell the Chacham, if he comes to be Matanede, so to speak, had you known what you know now, you never...
Right, that's Matan Neder. That's a different situation. You want to be Matan, that's direct.
See,
Matan Neder, Shoh and Ashrua. Alright, that's a possibility. But let's... We're not. We're dealing over here where you're allowed to do without even me Matan Neder. That's the point over here. There's no Hetahar Snedarim. You're not doing it. That's the Chiddush of the Gemara. L'shalim and Chosav L'misha Eir Zonis Chaveir. So therefore, he's saying that it's no different. We're making an analogy. Just like the Gemara says, if you make a Neder that so-and-so should not derive benefit from me, you are indirectly allowed to have him derive benefit in this technique. So too, if you make a shul, I'm not going to reveal information, so you can tell someone else that information, and even though it's possible that that person may go and tell the other person. Ach! However, b'shut chelkas Yaakov, if kasa l'fakvik b'hoiroz, he disagrees. He disagrees with the breastle of Shita. What's the chiluk? Ne'acha v'hanishpa sh'loi l'galoi s'odoi mistavir loi ma sh'mashmu usa sh'loi yisvada al yodoi s'odoi l'shem. Like we used to, Mr. Merulis. That's not what the shvu is. The shvu is, don't do anything even indirectly that can cause him to know through you. You know how to do it. V'un yishpal zeh, sh'm loi kein, sh'im loi kein yuchel gam l'chtoiv loi. And here's what is coming to point. If that's not the case, you can also write down Aldeik Saf. So you know what? So don't reveal. You can let, what would happen if you write down in the letter, my dear father-in-law, I want to reveal to you a secret. I was once married before I married your daughter. Or in earshot of your father-in-law, you'll tell him I was married to someone else. Now it appears in that case certainly it's usher. What he seems to be saying over here is that it's a davar pashut, that if you swear you're not going to tell your father-in-law, you're not allowed to write down. If you're going to write down a piece of paper and give him a tzetel, or you're going to say to someone else an earshot of your father-in-law, that is a clear violation of your shavua. If that's a violation, it's no different when he's not an earshot and you tell someone else. Then mail, it's all part of the same idea. You're doing something which will allow him to find out that information.
The first of all, when he says you can tell Reuven, has to be out of the earshot of...
Yes, of course. Sin has to be one step removed. Yes, of course. Of course, one step removed. Absolutely. Now, the Heavy Raya Lekach, and he brings a proof to this. Here he elaborates. Okay, this is a very famous Gemara, and this is very much related to Tisha B'Av, the story of Tisha B'Av. Shetzitkiyohu Nishba, we learned this, so even once a while ago, in we learned Divayam, Nishba Shaloi Legalis. The Gemara, right, the Gemara is a very famous Gemara. And that's why it's all in Davar. Shetzitkiyohu Nishba Shalagalis, Shenuchanetza Ochal Arneves Chaya. Nebuchadnezzar was the king. He ruled the world. Nebuchadnezzar, he ruled the whole region, and all of the countries were loyal, and they paid tribute. And every once in a while, he had the G8. He called them all together, and they all sat together with him, and they discussed matters, and they paid him rent. They paid him a tribute. And at this meeting, one day during the lunch break, Tzidkiyo accidentally came into his chambers when he was in the middle of his lunch, and he saw that he was eating a rabbit, a live rabbit, Eva Menachai. And in those days, this was considered to be barbaric. I don't know, today it's barbaric, but in those days, to eat living rabbits is barbaric. And it would have been Lashes to the Nebuchadnezzar did not want Tzidkiyo to go back and tell Klal Yisrael, do you know what he eats for lunch? He eats Eiver Min Achai. He did not want this, so he told him that, you bet, I want you to swear to me that you will not reveal the secret to the entire world. The Nishal Al Shuasa, and the day came with Tzidkiyo, he went and he revealed this information to Klal Yisrael to tell them what a Rasha he is. He's an Ishach Zari. To do this, he had to first be Matan Neder. Who was he Matan Neder from? The Sanhedrin. And Nebuchadnezzar, when he found out that the Sanhedrin knew about this, how did he know? He asked them, was there a way for him to undo the Neder? And they told him, yes, he'd go to the Sanhedrin. So he killed all of the members of Sanhedrin for being Matan his Neder.
Well, he went a step further, because he said, doesn't he have to Matan Neder in front of me?
Right. The front of.
And Sanhedrin said, yeah, you're right.
You're right. Okay. All right, doesn't say, doesn't end good either way. Okay.
Kill them, or he just lowered their seats.
And
then he dragged them around.
CEO for business.
Doesn't sound good. Whatever it was, it doesn't sound good.
6 feet.
It does not sound good. Nishal al shvuah site. Now he writes uveran kasav shehita shaheta hoye shaloi b'fnei nevuchanetzar. Why? B'mneisha mitzta'er hoye b'yoyser umespatel al yidei kach n'molecha shemayim. It's very bizarre what this means because he could not go on with life. Tzidkiyahu, it disturbed him to such a degree that he could not live his life and serve Hashem and daven and do his avodas Hashem unless he would reveal this information to Klal Yisrael. I don't know why. That's what it's
saying.
Why such a whatever it is. Ulchein, therefore, he tula b'efen zeh. They were mad with Shloikidin. Now here's the chiddush. Here's what he's the Ran. Here's what the Mechamer is coming to ask. The Chalkas Yaakov, and he says, Ulechoira haloyit Sidkiyah. What's the problem? Hoyachol legalos es asidaydek siva. So why did he need the Sanhedrin? Why did he need the Sanhedrin to be mata the neder? Why can he just go? I won't reveal it, bepel, write it and put it in writing. Obviously, also, why did he need to be mata neder? Just put it in writing. There's always a legal loophole. The answer is, the Chelkas Yaakov says, obviously, that you're not, when you make a shavua, that you're not going to reveal a secret, it means no matter, you can't do anything in your power to indirectly reveal that information. Not to tell someone else, not to put it in writing, not to talk with, not an earshot,
one is someone else's secret,
and one is your own secret. That's what he asks in a moment. Elavadai, sheyesh chilik benishba shloy ladaber in pliny. Of when you make a shvu that you're not going to speak employee,
tell
someone vaday kavanosai rak shloy ladaber biatzmoi, but the al yidei acher. Oy, al yidek. When you make a shvu that you're not going to speak with someone else, vaday kavanos rak shaloy ledaber beatzmo. When it's your own secret, then in a chlami you can do whatever you want. Then av al yidek acher al yidek sav muter. When it's your own secret, I swear that I'm not going to reveal this my secret. So if you make it your own secret, then you are allowed, he's suggesting, that you can put it in writing, or you can tell someone else, and that other person will tell the third party.
I don't think he's talking about a sod. He's talking about if he made a shvu. I'm not going to talk, okay.
I'm going to talk to Shimon.
So you could tell Levi, and Levi can...
Avol b'nishba shloy legada soidoy, someone else's secret, there's no excuse. Af al yidei acher, v'af al yidei ksav oser, b'bnei she'sof sof niskale al yodoy ha'soy l'shimon. The ayin b'Rabbi Akiva Eger, he seems to talk about this as well. So he seems over here says that when it comes to revealing a secret, he wants to suggest it does not make a difference. If you make a shul, you're not going to reveal a secret. It doesn't anything that you possibly do, that you can't compare to the Gemara. The Gemara's case is, I do not want to give benefit to so and so. So then, you may not give benefit, but someone else can give benefit. But when it comes to for you revealing your secret, he's saying is equivalent to revealing someone else's secret. Just like when you're not allowed to reveal someone else's secret, you're not allowed to reveal it even indirectly. If you made a shvu that you will not reveal your secret, you're not allowed to even do that indirectly.
Your shvu was not to regard it to Shimon.
Right.
The whole world, you can put
Shimon.
It on the radio. If you know that this guy is not listening to the radio, you're allowed to say it.
But if he's listening...
Okay, so now, if they go and tell it to Shimon, it's not your problem.
Okay, but he's saying it's... But since you made a shul that Shimon should not become aware of this information... Okay, we have to mefapo. I don't know. He's mefapo. Okay, I don't know. Let's just go a little further. Let's get the basic idea. The ayin v'seif minchas hamor shekasav she'olu chachamim lechacham echa. The first one chacham heyach ata b'kisui hasoid. How are you? Now we're just going off on a tangent. He's just following up.
I just said one thing.
Yeah.
About learning from Sidkiyahu.
Yeah.
No issue. that Sikia was under duress. He was he feared for his life, and the Shvuah doesn't mean anything.
Was it? No, it's my point that it wasn't that way.
He was hoping.
My point it wasn't that way. Or else the whole thing doesn't make any sense. The whole doesn't make any sense. My point that he wasn't under duress. He just made the.
Before the time when
the Shvuah made under duress doesn't.
No, does not apply. Right. It was during before Tzidkio they rebelled against the Nebuchadnezzar. For a very long period of time they actually were paying tribute. They were on good terms with Nebuchadnezzar. So it was not under duress. Okay, so in this case it's not. So basically we're Shmufab. We don't have a clear conclusion. It's just we just want to bring out the Indian. Okay, that's all we're trying to do over here. This is Machlekes between the Ranach and the Chelkas Yaakov. Mufab on the scene when a person makes a Shavuah, I'm not gonna tell a secret to so and so. Are you allowed to? Well, sworn to someone else's secret is clearly also. But let's talk about when you have your own private secret and you make a shvuah. I will not reveal my secret to this particular person. And now you change your mind. What is the definition of your shvuah? How do we define the shvuah? So this is a hakira machloikis between the Ranach and Chelkas Yaakov. Does it mean that you're not allowed to do anything indirectly that will lead to him knowing the secret, or no? It just means you directly may not reveal the secret, but you are allowed to do something indirectly. We do seem to have a precedent both ways. On the one hand, we have a precedent, we can be mechapel, you argue back and forth. We find the Gemara and this staff talks about the idea that if you make a neder that someone so and so may not derive benefit from me, you are in a way indirectly allowed to that person to derive benefit from you, as long as it's not direct. As long as you're not the one paying the money, someone else is doing it, and you don't guarantee that you're going to compensate, even though you are Merames, then you will compensate him. On the other hand, we find the Svar Fakert. We find that when it came to Nebuchadnezzar and Tzidkiyahu, and there was a Shvuah, there was no way around it. There was nothing that we find that he could have done indirectly, to undo the Shvuah. The only way he could have undone the Shvuah was by going full force to the Sanhedrin to be mad to the Shvuah. That's an extreme measures. Why couldn't he somehow have it been done indirectly? Obviously, now again, you can mafalpel, there are a lot of fine points which have to be defined, but we find two different stories, and we find the issue, we find the dilemma, and this is just what all really we want to present here for this Shaila. Now we can.
Aid him for a Shvuah?
No. Aid him for a Shvuah?
Do you have that proof?
I don't think so, no. There's no Shvuah. Say, Adalamach, yeah. You don't have to have a Shvuah. You just say it to yourself. You make a Shvuah behind closed doors. Okay, now he concludes. Let's go. Now he concludes just. He's going off the topic now. He's just talking about Tzadikim. The Choymer Hadavar of keeping a secret.
Yeah. To deny myself. But in this case with Nebuchadnezzar, he made a Shavuah.
Someone else's secret.
Yeah.
I know, but he's focusing on even so there isn't an Indian of even someone else's Shavuah. If you have good reason to violate the Shavuah, obviously you don't have a good reason, you're not allowed to do anything. It's not unethical, it's immoral. But here, whatever his machshava, Tzidkiyahu was a very great person. He's a very holy tzaddik. He had a reason which is beyond us to understand why he needed to undo the Shavuah. We don't understand why, but he had a very, very good reason. Okay, so there's going to be a solution. If there's going to be a solution, why did he have to go to the extreme of going to the Sanhedrin and having them being shoil on the neder? That's an extreme measure. If he needed a solution, there's another solution. He could have had the neder undone indirectly. The fact that he did not do it or have it done indirectly shows that doing it indirectly is not a solution. Because that's all we want to take out of this. So in our situation where it's different, it's a whole different type of Shaila, it's my own personal secret, and I have a reason why I want to undo the secret. Do I need to go to extreme measures, or can I have it done indirectly? So we're trying to just point as a point of reference, not that it's conclusive, the story in the Gemara of Tzidkiyahu, where he did found that was not a viable solution. He needs a solution, and the only solution is to go to the extreme and go to Sanhedrin. Okay, let's just conclude the last paragraph, running out of time. The Od Ayim Sefer Menoras Hamor. This is just words of Musar. This is not halacha now. He's going into off a tangent. Tell me, when you know a secret, tell me, how do you guard a secret in your mind? Amar lohem. So he says to the told him as follows: Kishe yigale li adam soidei, ani choytsev like kever besoch libi liyoy shavul oil. Look at this nusach, a beautiful nusach. I dig a grave in my heart. I dig a grave in my heart, and I put the secret in the grave in my heart. Maise bechacham echad shehifkid soidei etzel chacham acher. I have a secret to tell you. I'm giving you the secret. Amar loy. Hevanta es divarai, understand my words. Amaloi, so he told him, Kvar shachachti ma shamartali. I have such.
Said it.
I never said. I forgot it.
What?
I forgot what you told me. Exactly. Rotzaloi mar. Rotzaloi mahave batuach shehasirai siu mi libi. I already forgot it. Shloyotza mi pili olavi. Olam rachach mehamusa mi oilam. Loi hifkati soidi biyad odam vigaleo. I never deposited my secret in the hand of someone and revealed it. Shloyisi mashem es magale elo es atzmi. Not sure what that means. I'm not able to conceal my secret. I don't know what this means exactly. One more time over here. I never deposited my secret. Biyad Adam. Vigalehu. Shalohisi mashim es magal. I never had a complaint against a person. Shalohisi mashim es magal es ela es atzmi. I only blame myself.
Because if I can't keep a secret, I can't expect
someone else to keep a secret. For Yisi Omer, ani lo yachalti la'alem soidi v'gilisil li'acherim. If I couldn't keep a secret, I told it to someone else, so how could I expect him to keep the secret? V'yimkein lo mani mashim la'acherim shegelu. Fascinating. If I'm already guilty, if I tell someone a secret, what am I telling him for? If it's a secret, so what am I telling it to him for? Obviously, I can't control myself. So if I can't control myself, so why should I have expectations that someone else should control? So you have to realize, basically what I'm saying is, if you tell someone a secret, it's basically public knowledge. It's public knowledge. And that's a reality. That's what I told you in the beginning. It's a joke. It's not a joke. The only difference between a secret and a public announcement is, a public announcement is you tell it everyone in one shot. A secret is you tell a person, one person at a time. That's really what the world boils down to.
Or you're saying don't tell the other person. If you can't hold a secret...
Exactly. Why did I tell it to you? Exactly. So why, therefore, you can never hold another person to account for revealing a secret, because the only one you can blame is yourself. Why did I tell it to him? I told him already, like I said, the cat's out of the bag.
You told them by accident they found out your secret.
That's a different story. That's a very different story. Because then I'm not guilty of revealing the secret. They knew it from someone else. In Hanani. Okay, let's do another Shaila. One more Shaila. Let's do the next one. Shaila is Nisuin. Okay, this is very strange. Shaila. Nisuin in Bas is Shol Shavia Sonach V'Chaza B'Shuva. Okay, another type of neder. A strange Shaila. Not every one of these things are home runs. Okay, some of these things are home runs. Some are really home runs out of the ballpark. And sometimes they're foul balls, okay? You take it, okay? It's a mixed bag. It's a mixed bag, some of these things. But some of them are very, let's see. Let's quickly go through this one. It's soon. Yeah! These are real Shilas. These are all from Shas and Shuvah Sar. Nisuin in Bas Yisrael Shavia Sonach V'Chazar. Here's a shayla. B'shut Marit. Don B'talma Chacham Shem Shtadich in Isha Bita Shal Ruvain. He became engaged. He was engaged to a girl of a Talma Chacham of Ruvain. V'nishba Shayisa Es Bita. I'm sorry. V'nishba Shayisa Es Bita Shal Ruvain. He made a shvua that he will marry this person's domain. Like the Tanoim. You know, this could be like a shayla. You know, you sign the Tanoim. Say, I swear to you, I'm going to marry your daughter. Got engaged and we're all ready to go. And then these are common shilas. And then new information comes to light. Mm-hmm. New information I did not know. I got engaged and we signed the tnoyim, or worse, in this case, he made a shul that he's not going to back off on the shidduch. And then he discovers, there are skeletons in the closet. Once upon a time, Parak was a Maishahaya, it's a real story. Parak al Beroima, he once in Rome, and he went off to Derech, and he went and he married a Shiksa. And the daughter that he has now is really the product of an intermarriage. And the mother is not Jewish.
Oh my God.
And the girl is either not Jewish, or maybe she converted by now. By this point in time, she converted. She is a full-fledged divorce. Let's see. Let's see. Vegdicha tafshilo. This person, once upon a time, he won of the derech. Now he's a fine person in the community. He's honored. Every organization, he's honored. He gets shlishi. He gets maftiyayna. Who would have known that 20 years ago, he was off the derech, hanging out in the wrong place, and he got married to a shiksa and had this daughter, which now you're engaged. He's engaged to. Let's see, which means he was one of the derech, v'nasa nachris, ubazo nolda minachris, and now this person he did shuva shava via b'shuva v'ol l'tzvas ma'ir in bita. And this person now who's living in Eretz Yisrael, a fine erelcha person, he did shuva and he took the girl with him. And I guess I'm assuming that the girl went and she was megaya, he was megaya her, and everything is fine and good, and he remarried. And now the person finds out who he's engaged to. He's engaged to this girl, who's really the daughter of a shiksa, and...
But did she begat
her? Yeah, let's assume she did. I will see more. I don't remember the details. I will assume she did.
He's not his son.
He's fine.
Not his daughter.
Exactly. So now, you know what? This type of shidduch, I didn't get into. You know, it's a nice thing. The haftim es hager, it's a mitzvah deraisa. But... I didn't realize what I'm getting into. Okay, so this is the Shiloh. This was a Shiloh post. Everyone is different. Okay, you can't generalize. Okay, these are all isolated questions. So now he machma he didn't know what's going on. The old she'ein lebita shalich and stand with his daughter. The yichus follows the mother. I made a shul, I'm not going to marry your daughter. I'm going to marry your daughter. Oh, call him a godly son-in-law. This is basically he raised her, so it's like it's his daughter. But that's not what I had in mind. So the marit writes. In Bita Shel Ruvain, look at the beginning of the Shiloh. But Talmud Chacham Shen Nishtadich in Isha Bita Shel Ruvain. And it turns out that this Ruvain 20 years ago was hanging out in Rome and was off the derech, had a daughter out of wedlock, or maybe whatever it was, and took the girl home with him. And now 20 years later, she grew up in the Chassidus Shel Beis Yaakov. It means it was perceived to be his daughter. That's exactly
right. It's his biologic daughter. It's his biologic daughter,
but it's not his halachic daughter.
So what can you say? What does he say to Sheinish?
Because a halachic.
I'll call halacha. You follow the mother. According to halacha, the liyichus follows the mother.
And the mother is a
and she's a geyeres.
Biologically,
when he made a shvua that I'm going to marry your daughter, he meant your halachic daughter. Halachic daughter and your biological daughter and your halachic daughter. I did not know that this is not your halachic daughter. I did not know that this is your halachic daughter. Well, that's the question. When you make such a shvua, this was the question proposed to the Maharit. I got engaged to this girl, a fine girl. She was the best in the class, a wonderful girl. She looks just like she's a spinning image of her father. She looks just like her father. Wonderful girl, wonderful family. And now, I went to, and for some reason, my shver, he was obsessed that I shouldn't back out. I didn't understand why he wouldn't back out. I went out with her 8 times. Everything was good. I checked into the family. Everyone says good, 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 good. And my shver was obsessed that I shouldn't back out. He made me sign all the documents. I signed away my life. And then he said, I also want you to swear. I said, listen, it's a good girl, so why not? So I took a shvua. And then 2 weeks before the wedding, I discover this information.
Now, even if she were, she did hear.
Yeah.
It's still, when he comes to Bimata Neda, he says there's a pagam.
So the whole discussion here, is that considered a pagam?
That's the question. This is the shaila. This was the question asked.
Right.
Now, many times, you should know, many times the rabbanim, I know today for a fact, they'll tell you, you're already engaged, she was good enough to get engaged to, and you like her, so what's the problem? I have to ask again. I know they asked the shalta, they asked the shalas to Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach, they used to manage, encourage people like this time of shalas to 100% to get married. You like her good enough to get engaged to, so what's the problem? What's the problem? She's a good girl. Oh, that's different. That's not the case here. That's mental illness is not what we're discussing here. We're not, that's, this is the shaila that is proposed.
Let's say it is a genetic problem that didn't
But we have to look at this. These shilas are very specific. And you can never generalize. You can never, ever generalize in a shila. Every shila has its unique set of circumstances. You can never generalize. We're discussing a very specific shaila. Ein achnami. Mental illness, even though they're on these type of medications, a certain type of defect with family and this and that. 100%. This is the shaila. The girl is a healthy, gesunde girl with no questions. She is the top of the class. Top in the class. She was the Gioras. For whatever reason, it bothered him. Maybe he didn't like her to begin with. Maybe he really didn't like her. This tipped the scale. He got engaged under duress, and this now. Right, it was a deal breaker in this situation. Right, because of the shoe involved.
It's not as humble.
Unless you sign Tanoim. If you sign the Tanoim, it's pretty serious. So that's the shayla. Let's read, we're running out of time. Okay, running out of time. Mishkasav Shan. Shemi Shehefe Bris Ein Loi Pagam Mishpacha Yosem Zeh. A father went off the derech. This was the married Rudy. When he mamish, the father was a shematar mitzvah. And he went off the derech. And he went and he married a shiksa. He had a child out of wedlock. This is the pits. V'yafal piyish ashem now chozab b'shuva mikolokam pagam mishpachahu. V'yafal piyish donu b'sugin l'gabi mish nodar koinam. We learned in the Gemara mish nodar koinam she'eni noisei plon neshavi irak. And this is the Gemara. That's why this is being quoted over here. A person made a neder she'eni noisei plon neshavi irak. I make a shvua, I make a neder, I will not marry so-and-so because her father is an evil person. Amulo, and then they tell him, listen, he's no longer, he died. Mace. Oish osa tshuva. Im hu noilat. So this is shayla, yalad, vipasechenev noilat. If you make a neder, and new things, something new happens, that's not a Pesach for a neder.
But this is even more.
So mavushim osa tshuva hareza kimi shenekar nidruhu. But if he did shuva, it's shenek ar nidruhu, it's good. The neder has been washed. Uponim chadosh as bolukan. So here also, in this situation, so since he did shuva, in this situation, we said the same, therefore, that's not an excuse. You mean that you're going to marry her. So even though it's true, it's discovered that once upon a time he did not there, but right now he's a good person. So therefore, since right now he's a good person, so you should be forced to be marry her. V'docha hamarit, mishtetam, it's not comparable to the Gemara. Number one, shloshan avira. The case of the Gemara was a person made a neder. I will not marry this girl because her father is ra. Mashmash no, the ra calls man shuhu ra. That means I'm only not going to marry her while he continues to be evil. Now that he has changed, she'ilu rotzo loymar, machmas sapagam. If he wanted to say that because of the begam he'll never marry her in the future, hayitzach lindar shloshan shehi bas ishra. That she is the daughter of an Ishra. Shemashma, she pegumo umechul kvoida, she's finished. There's no way to, but that's not what he said. He said, Avil, in another cold man, I only make an echo on Sheovira. That means, Haresh lehikbid ala pagam, he's not makbid ala pagam, el al mashem apoil right now, currently of Yira. Uve oimim lo, when they tell the mace, he died, osha osa teshuva. Ah, so that's a very valid reason why now, long ago, the neder is no longer in effect. The neder was only in effect only while the circumstances exist. Once the circumstance have come to an end, that's the case of the Gemara, you're allowed to marry her. Oimim lo, lekachnas kavanti. But in this case, it's worse. In this case, That's a negach tos to begin with. The oid sheyesh l'tchoyis. Another reason why shavir ra ina kavanah be'oisa averus. So doesn't mean there's an averus. Ela shasur ra. He has a bad nature. V'ayuroyil l'shrachik m'menu shlo yisav imo v'shlo yazikenu. You don't want him to have bad influence upon you. V'kevin shas shuva v'shami darko hara. Bala hasiba, the cause asher nishba leha. The siba is bala because no longer is going to be an evil influence. The oid poshad yodoy be'ikor shayin pared. So therefore, therefore, the case of the Gemara, what he's basically saying is irrelevant to the Shaila at hand. The Shaila at hand is where the problem continues to exist. The problem has not been rectified. The person made a shvua that I will marry her. It was based on the assumption that this circumstance does not exist. And the circumstance still continues to exist. The girl comes from a non-Jewish mother. She is a geyeres. It's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But it's not what I agreed to. I did not agree. And therefore, the circumstances are not the same. Being that they're not the same, therefore, he has a right to say that it was not my shua. It's not like the case of the Gemara. The case of the Gemara is where kol's man shavir ra, and now the circumstances are no longer here. They're no longer here, so that's a different type of situation. Furthermore, another reason why we cannot compare the case that came to the case of the Gemara, the oid also pushed the other being because shiny. The father here has done something that is extremely severe. Shiny said to shuvasay kasha v'cherpasa loisimcha. The person goes off the derech 100% to the degree where he commits the ultimate sin into marriage. That is the ultimate sin for a person to go and intermarry. So there's a problem with him also, with the father. Even though he did tshuva, he's now a fine man, she's over here, and he's got shlishi, and no one really knows. But it's not so simple when a person intermarries. Kifi shem chazal kol bo'eho lo yeshuvon. The Gemara of Avodah Zarah says anyone that enters into intermarriage, they don't do tshuva so quickly. Zo minus, that's minus. Vim yeshuvu lo yasigo. If they do tshuva, they're not going to achieve this ultimate olam haba. So he says here it's a very serious issue, and this individual in this particular case, if he wants to back out, if for whatever reason he wants to back out, he is entitled to do so, and he's not bound by his shavua. The shavua is batal. What? Mishnah Halachas? That's who's Mishnah Halachas? Rav Nasha Klein. Benidah and Shal Bein Bas Yisrael. Shesorcha, another story, a Bas, let's say the girl herself. Let's say the Kala herself, it was not known. Shesorcha, the Chazraba, new information comes to light. A man gets engaged to a very fine girl, and then he discovers that there was a period of time in her life that she was off the derech. The chazaba, even though now shafilu im shavul Hashem, she returned. Kevon sin she'over ala veros chamurois. It's a very, very frightening thing. Pegam mishpacha havei calls man shloi Thomas. Very frightening thing. Ulechein if on the chadchilu lo yisim ev shloi bacheres. Okay, again, I told you everything you say over here. You got to be very careful. A lot of these things are a little extreme, okay? A little extreme over here. The people in the family, if the Hebrew person wants to back out of the shidduch, you can't say that he's doing an avla. To break an engagement is a terrible thing, obviously. We all hear very, very frightening stories. Listen, what can you do today, unfortunately, whatever, that's what it is, it is, it is what it is. But you can't blame a person who breaks an engagement in this type of situation. Kedin hanaisa isha shupagamishbach of Yalkin Balas Chuva Zoti Tisa Ben Mina. She should marry someone that does not have an issue with this. The Chosav Sham Shatolia Dova be Izaveris Khato, you have to also be careful, you have to know exactly what exactly happened, what the situation was. On the Mokam Atsuch Yasu Sheilas Chacham. Wilchain Sim Hamarit, Shaisham Chacham, Yochalachsuboy. Velisa Isha Haru Uyaloi, Ularavcha de Milsa Yasem. And of course, ultimately, in order that even though he technically does not need to have Ataras Nidalim, to have She'ela on his Shua, Lechatchilo, he should be She'ela on the Shua, Yasla Hetem Bifnei Shloisha. And then being in the Sun and Bali Shuva, the only oil Bifnei Halacha, Ksu Staff Nidal. Okay, so bottom line is, what is the Yisoid? We take away this interesting piece of Gemara, where a person makes a neder that I'm not going to marry this woman because her father is Ra. That is, and then the Gemara says, what was the Ma'aseh Shehaya? They tell him the father did tshuva, or the father died. So now he's no longer Ra. Now there's nothing holding him back from marrying this marriage. That is limited. When you take away from this halacha, that is a limited case in the Gemara, and that's not relevant to a case situation where the father at one point in time was intermarried. Intermarriage, we all know, is the worst of the worst. And then already that is not the same thing, and that can be considered to be a pekah mishpacha, and the person is not to blame if he decides he does not want to continue.
They signed tanayim, is that that's a pass, that's a contract, right?
Yes, yes. Hasidim are very into signing tanayim.
The root. So
no, they say. Right, they say. What?
Even if you will lie to totally about everything.
Not. I don't know every situation. You can't generalize. You cannot generalize. They say, the way they say in the Velt is that if a person, when you sign tanayim, there's no way out. Marriage, there's a divorce. There's a way out. It's better to get married and get divorced than to break an engagement when you sign the tanayim.
You're in limbo.
And that is why the minig in this generation is, already for the last 50 years at least, by Litvish Olam, is not to sign the tanayim until 5 minutes before you get married. By the Hasidim, they sign the tanayim a year in advance. These 18-year-old boys and 17-year-old girls, they get engaged at night and then they wait at least 6 months. They never see each other. They never saw to begin with. They'll never see. After they get married, they won't see each other either. But they sign what? Right, for a year. But they sign tanayim, and that's it. By the Litvish Shalom, they don't sign tanayim.
It doesn't matter how much you lie to, there's no tanayim in tanayim.
If you totally lie to, you can't say that the tanayim are valid. You can't say such a thing.
You can't even read it tonight.
They don't know what's written, but it's serious business. So that's why the Litvish Shalom do not, you'll never come on, never go to an engagement party. Not all, some people do it. And they're going to sign them. So then, and what has become? Therefore, many people question. So, what is the term? They all, we guarantee that we're going to get married. So, if you buy the wedding already, so what do you have to write? How long does the tefillin last for? From the time you sign until you walk down the chuppah, and it takes already a half an hour. A lot can happen in a half an hour. Believe me. But many question.
You might see what she looks like.
What? A lot can happen in half an hour today. All right, so. So they still sign tanayim. But many people question, since it's such a short period of time, why waste everyone's time by the wedding with doing tanayim? So it's something to take pictures. So there are a lot of people today, especially in the more modern Orthodox community, they do not have tanayim at a wedding. They do not have. Herschel Shafta, I know, he's very, very lightweight on tanayim. You don't need it. You already made it to this point. The cows are already dressed up in the gown. The chuppah is ready to go.
Yeah, because some people, instead of with the tanayim, make a
prenuptial
at that time.
And instead they do both. All right, that's a separate thing. Prenuptial is a separate parasha. That's a separate sugya. So why do they do it? So there are different. Number one is kibudim. It's a photo op. It's a great photo op, right? It's fun. You stall for time because not everyone came. We know it's the yam in the middle of the week. Not everyone's here yet at the wedding, so you need to stall for time. What?
You find out something between tonight.
Yeah, you're in a lot of trouble. You have to get super. The world of negach tos, there are different rules. And others say, that you don't know if Chazal or Masake in the nusach of the tonight was written up in Ruach HaKodesh. There are all these nuschos, there's a very, very elaborate nusach. There are certain parts that are generic, but there are certain parts. So people say that if Chazal went to the effort of writing up Ruach HaKodesh, these nuschos, which are meramis, we really don't know what the kinnis. Do you even know what we talk about? What it says, what these nuschos are? You don't tamper with it. You don't want to tamper with it. Chazal said you should do it. We don't do it today because we live in a society where people break engagements without any hesitation, so we don't want it to be a problem. But if Chazal established the Nusach, so for 5 minutes, sign the Tanayim. What's so terrible? That is the attitude that the B'nai Torah, the right wing Orthodox community.
How old is this the norm business?
What?
How old is this the norm business?
Hundreds of years.
Rambam and Rashi.
It's very Shoinim. I don't know how far back it goes. It goes back a long way. And that's the attitude, and the right wing is, listen, Chazal umasak in it, whatever. He changed. The old Tanaim said that the Chassan's going to give a certain amount of chickens, right, and the Kal's going to give a certain amount of goose feathers for the pillows and the blankets and the linen. So Rav Moshe just basically he rewrote it, the Chassan is meshabed himself to marry the Kala, and the Kala is meshabed himself to marry the Chassan, and the families are on good terms, and everyone's going to do what they're supposed to do. Everyone's going to participate and do what they're supposed to do, and everyone should accept this in writing, make a kinyan, and they're Shalom al Yisrael. That's Rav Moshe. Everyone today uses Rav Moshe's time. It became a very, very extremely popular
Rav Moshe's time.
Exactly. So that's what Herschel Shachter says. And that's what a lot of people say. What is, it doesn't matter. It's only 5 minutes. Anyway, you're getting married, so you don't need to do it all together. So the reason why the people still do it is because, listen, it was established by very great holy people. They wrote a very holy Nusach. We don't know what these things mean. We don't want to play around. Mazel getting married. So just to play it safe, the plate to fulfill what Chazal will masak, and you sign it and you break the plate and you have a little fun and you just don't think about it. Don't think about life too much.
2 points. 2 points.
Yeah.
We learned this. It was a very important relationship.
Yeah.
Because technically, if a guy goes out with a girl and he likes her and he says, we're engaged, and he introduces her to all his friends, my kala, that is almost a nether.
Yeah.
So you have a problem even if it's not written.
Yes, so, but right, that's right. That's
so
broken engagement.
The first thing, you should not give secrets. You really shouldn't talk.
Tell people, yeah.
You read in the words of Rasha.
That's right.
It's for the Maka Chilakisuma.
No, seriously, what he says is that you have to investigate what exactly she
is.
Now, she's smart, and he's smart, for more investigation, so you don't have something to build on up or down. And if you have Adas, you're not going to find Adas. Say, well, I saw her, you know, she went out on a film day, whatever it was.
Do you know how many Shidduchim were ruined because people were talking secrets before they got engaged?
So it's really,
that's right. Okay. Take a short break, okay, and then we'll